Well, this morning we're in week 7 of a 7-week series, so the final week of a series called The Case for the Sabbath Day. And in that sermon series, we have been looking throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, looking at all the Scriptures that deal with the Sabbath day. You know, some would ask, okay, you go to church on Saturday, but why do you go to church on Saturday? And so this series was meant for two individuals, those of us who do, and to remind ourselves why it's a special day for us, but also for those who are watching or watching us and wondering why we do it. This is a series to explain all that. And then over the last few weeks, we've seen that on the very first week of creation, that God rested on the seventh day. He blessed the seventh day, and he sanctified it. And that means made holy, made hallowed. And we learned that all the Old Testament patriarchs, they at least understood if they didn't keep the Sabbath as the seventh day. As we get in the New Testament, we saw that Jesus kept the seventh day, as was his custom, it said, which means it was a regular thing that he did, was to keep the Sabbath day. We saw that the apostles, all the disciples and the apostles, they all kept the Sabbath as the seventh day. After his resurrection, any mention of a worship day was always in reference to the seventh day. And we did realize last week, we saw that the Saturday to Sunday change happened some 100 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, the fourth commandment is the longest of all the Ten Commandments because it goes into so much detail. It says people are to rest, their animals, their servants, everybody in their household is to rest on that day. Let's remember by going through this again. Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. Remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. On that day, no one in your household may do any work. This includes you, your sons and daughters, your male and female servants, your livestock, and any foreigners living among you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and everything in them. But on the seventh day he rested, and that is why the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and set it apart as holy. And this again references what? All the way back to Genesis, all the way back to the creation week. In fact, before sin entered the world, and so a perfect world, God made two institutions at that time. He created marriage, which is a holy institution created by God. And he created the Sabbath, also a holy institution created by God. But you know, the commandments and even the rest of the Old Testament scriptures and much of the New Testament, they shed very little light on how to keep it holy. So after all these weeks, these 6 weeks of determining that yes, that you know that God created it, he never reversed it, he never annulled it, and so it's still there, but how do we keep the Seventh-day Sabbath? Of course, there's plenty of don't do verses. In the Old Testament, in the ceremonial law, there's all kinds of things like don't do field labor, don't tread in a wine press or kindle a fire. But for us today, in our culture today, where do we find the instructions for how to keep the Sabbath day holy? Now, before sharing some specifics on how to keep the Sabbath principles from the Scripture, I want to highlight two extremes that can distort our thinking on how to honor this very distinct day. Number one, when Jesus was on this earth, the Pharisees taught the people to keep the Sabbath in an extremely legalistic way. They went so far as to even accuse Jesus, the creator of the Sabbath, of breaking the Sabbath. Of course, Jesus, who was sinless, never did anything that violated the Sabbath commandment or any of the commandments. Just some of the Pharisees' man-made traditions regarding the Sabbath. He said in Mark 7, he said, "For you ignore God's law and you substitute your own traditions." But in an effort to avoid being legalistic ourselves, we can also err in the other direction by not trying to find Sabbath activities that honor God and his Sabbath. With that in mind, we're now going to consider some biblical guidelines, some principles. There are no instructions for thou shalt in order to keep the Sabbath. And I think that's for a purpose. I think if we had that, then we wouldn't actually be invested in the process. But here, we have to look at the principles. What does God want for our life? And then apply that in our lives. Now, arguably, the word most often associated with the Sabbath is the word holy. It said that in Genesis 2:3, and God blessed the seventh day, and he declared it holy. In Exodus 20, verse 8, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. In Ezekiel, it says, your priests have violated my instructions and defiled my holy things. They make no distinction between what is holy and what is not, and they do not teach my people the difference between what is ceremonially clean and unclean. They disregard my Sabbath days so that I am dishonored among them. So God says there was a holy time. What does he mean? The word holy means something that's dedicated or set apart or consecrated to God. And it's clear from Bible that some things are holy and should not be profaned or treated as just simple common things. You know, in Exodus chapter 3, the story is told of Moses who approached the burning bush. And over the last few weeks, we saw again and came to study that and noticed that the idea that the bush was on holy ground. Exodus 3:5 says, don't come any closer. Take off your sandals, for you are standing on holy ground. A day before that, it was not holy ground. And the day after the Lord left it, it was no longer holy ground. The thing that made it holy was God's presence was there in that burning bush. It's always God's presence that makes something holy. And God also points out in this commandment that a certain amount of time each week is holy, not because a church teaches it, but because he says so. Notice, though, that God doesn't say, remember the Sabbath and to make it holy. We don't make anything holy. No man can make something that's common holy, nor can a man make something that's holy to be common. God is saying, you know, I've already made it holy, so you must recognize what I have done and you need to respect me. Recognizing what is right and what is not right on the Sabbath isn't easy. We are living in such a relentlessly busy culture that takes thought and planning and effort to enter into this rest that he talks about. The Sabbath is different from all other days. On it, we're to set aside our normal routine and dedicate our time to God. It's a day for enjoying God's presence in our lives. Have you ever wondered why God rested on the seventh day? I mean, he couldn't have gotten tired. He didn't sit down and get a break and then come back and start eating again. Why would he do it? Well, the Almighty God did not need rest. He simply desired time to sit and enjoy his creation. I can almost imagine him walking with Adam on that first Sabbath and says, look at this. Oh, and this over here. I created all of this for you. Isn't it awesome? Come enjoy it with me. Holy is the word that's referenced with God's Sabbath. The second one is rest. Again, it says, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week for your ordinary work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath day of rest dedicated to the Lord your God. It's so easy to get lost in life's endless details. And God knew this from the beginning. That's why he set apart the final day of creation, making it a holy day of rest and refreshing and relaxation and reflection. God didn't need to rest or reflect, but we always do. The Sabbath is a day when we pause from our normal labors and activities, and we rest for 24 hours on the seventh day of the week. From sunset Friday to sunset Saturday, as the Bible counts time. But what is rest? It means so much more than simply taking a Sabbath nap after we get home from church. What I used to call Sabbath lay activities, right? It means so much more than that for rest. The Hebrew word Shabbat means to stop, to cease, to be still. In other words, it means stop and observe. Stop and look to God. Or as we saw in our children's message this morning, be still and know that I am God. That's the reason for the Sabbath rest, to stop all this other stuff that's going on around us. Just stop and focus on him. It said that a Native American and his friend were walking through Times Square in Midtown New York during lunch hour. The streets were filled with people. Cars were honking their horns. Taxi cabs were squealing around corners. Sirens were wailing. And the sounds of the city were almost deafening. And suddenly the Native American said to his friend, I hear a cricket. His friend said, what? You have to be crazy. You couldn't possibly hear a cricket in all this noise. No, I'm sure of it. I hear a cricket. And so the Native American listened carefully for a moment. Then he walked across the street to a big cement planter filled with shrubs. He looked under the branches, and sure enough, he found a small cricket. His friend was utterly amazed. That's incredible. I could never have heard a cricket in this noise. He said, yes, that's true, came the reply. It kind of depends on what's really important to you. Here, let me show you. He reached into his pocket, pulled out a few coins, and discreetly dropped them on the sidewalk. And then, with the noise of the crowded street blaring in their ears still, they noticed that every head within 20 feet turned around to look and see if the money that had tinkled on the ground might have been theirs. See what I mean? As the Native American, it all depends on what's important to you. So I ask you all this morning, I ask myself, what is important to us? Why not take time today to stop and look for God? Why not take time every seventh day to stop and look for God? Did you know the Bible says it actually takes work to rest? It's an interesting dilemma there. Hebrews 4:11, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. It sounds like a contradiction. Let us work to enter into not working. It doesn't make sense, but that's really what happens if and when we prepare for the coming Sabbath. Really, anything of importance in life requires preparation, planning a special date or a special vacation. I know early in our marriage when we only had one kid, we would take and our anniversary was extra special, and each of us would plan somewhere to go and do, and it was expensive, and yes, I'm throwing hate on my
sorry for me.
We just weren't able to when the other children came. But we planned out these days extra special. We wanted them to be something unique, and so we spent a lot of time and energy planning them. And again, anything that's important requires extra work. It requires planning and preparation to make it happen just right. And I believe that in order for us to really enjoy the release and the peace that God has designed for us in His holy day, we have to labor. We have to plan. We have to prepare to enter into it. And that actually is our third word associated with the Sabbath, preparation. You know, back before the Ten Commandments, before the fourth commandment was given, the Israelites were wandering in the wilderness for several years, and we have the wilderness manna that came every single day for 5 days, but just enough for that day. The next day, on the sixth day, twice as much came. And then the seventh day, nothing came. Exodus 16:23, then Moses said to them, this is what the Lord has said. Tomorrow is a Sabbath rest, a holy Sabbath for the Lord. Bake what you will bake today, boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourself all that remains to be kept until morning. It was a day of preparation, and it came every single week for 40 years. This preparation day, preparing for the following day being the Sabbath. You know, in the New Testament days and time, they certainly had this idea of a day of preparation as well. In Luke 23, after the death and burial of Jesus, it was the day of preparation. The Sabbath was beginning. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how his body was laid out. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. And on the Sabbath, they rested according to the commandment. So they got everything ready to take care of the body that was still in the tomb, but they rested on the Sabbath day and resumed doing their energies, their work on that part on Sunday morning. While the scriptures don't command it in so many words, some are blessed by using Friday to prepare for the Sabbath. They clean the house, or they shop for groceries. They even maybe prepare ahead some of the meals. And this way, when Sabbath begins, all those household things are already taken care of. And you can take a deep breath and fully indulge in a day of rest. Certainly, we can all appreciate a day of rest. Of course, on the flip side, viewing this goal as an absolute can result in pressuring us to make so much preparation that Friday becomes a day of burden. And so we need to be careful there. But we can use the time before the Sabbath to plan and prepare, to plan to do things so we won't have to do them on Sabbath, to start finishing our work so the sundown doesn't always catch us off guard on Friday. But one of the biggest positives is to plan for the day to be a delight. And that's our fourth associated word. Sabbath was not created, although some may differ because of the way they were raised, but Sabbath was not created to be a day of restrictions or prohibitions or boredom. Look what Isaiah says in 58. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable, and if you honor it by not going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find your joy in the Lord. Does God want us to dread the Sabbath? No, He wants it to be a special blessing in our life. It's a gift to us. But if we don't have a loving relationship with Jesus, we're going to be watching the clock. It's as if the Sabbath is a burden rather than a blessing, waiting for the sundown to see so that we can get back into the things that we were going to do but had to stop for the Sabbath day. In the book of Amos, we read about a people where it says, when will the new moon be past that we may sell grain and the Sabbath that we may trade wheat? See, they were impatiently, not patient, they were impatiently waiting for the sun to go down and the Sabbath to be over so they could go do their own thing, their own delight. Instead of looking as the Sabbath the delight of the week, they were looking at it as a burden to get rid of and get past so they can get into the delights again of their week. Suppose with me that there's a young man who really likes a certain young woman, but because of their schedules, they can only spend a few hours a week together. So he rearranges all his work, get his business aside, but while they're together, she's talking to him and he doesn't seem to be paying any attention. When she talks about it, he confesses, "Well, you know, I'm thinking about all the work projects I've got all week long." And then they're sitting together over dinner that she spent so much time preparing, and he keeps looking at the clock and he says, "You know, would you mind if we cut the date off early?" What kind of devotion does this talk about to her? How does she see that type of relationship? God's people should look forward to the Sabbath day as time of refreshment, time of revival, a time of renewal. It's a delight, something we look forward to. God wants it to be a delight, and I believe the more we come to know God, the more delightful the Sabbath will become. Too many, though, approach Sabbath with the attitude of, see, God is like this. We would attend church more faithfully if your special day came on a different special day. Because it just comes when everything seems to be going against us. All our schedules don't seem to collide with yours. And so if you don't mind, we'd like to go to church. But if we could, we'd like to go on a day of our choosing. But that's not how it works. Psalm 37:4 says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart." What else does this verse say about the Sabbath? Fifth word is focus. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath and from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day honorable. So I noticed some phrases there. For instance, doing as you please and not going your own way. God wants us to take every seventh day and dedicate it to doing things that strengthen our relationship, not horizontally, but vertically, our relationship with our God. Pausing from our normal routines, our work, our shopping, our errands, our sports activities, our movies, our TV, and spending the day doing things that are spiritually focused instead. But how can we do that if most of the day is spent on I wants? I want to go to the mall. I want to go to the movies. I want to go to the concert. I want to do all these things. Our focus can either be on God and his wants or on ours, but it can't be on both. These verses go on to say we're to honor the Sabbath day. But how? It says, by not going your own way, not doing as you please, or speaking idle words. Another place we can see some principles on Sabbath keeping is by watching how Jesus and his disciples kept the Sabbath as well. Our sixth word association is the word worship. Both Jesus and the apostles made a habit of going to the synagogue and worshiping together on the Sabbath. Obviously, it's good and right for us to worship God every day. May we all continue to do that. But once again, the Sabbath provides us a special time to engage in focused worship, focused study, focused prayer. Not only is the Sabbath a holy time because it's set apart by God, we are to be holy because we've been set aside by God as well. And we become holy by taking time on God's holy Sabbath to be with him in a unique way. Acts 16:13 says, "On the Sabbath day, we went out of the city to the riverside where prayer was customarily made, and we sat down and spoke to the women who met there." The Sabbath is a day for us to come together in corporate worship. Notice how the Lord speaks about coming together for worship on the Sabbath. Isaiah 66, "It shall come to pass that from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come and worship before me." In Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3, it says, "6 days work shall be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy assembly." In the King James, it calls it a convocation, but it's a gathering of the people. Church is an opportunity to worship God in a place that's designed for worship, to learn more of him through the study of his word, and to receive encouragement from a community of fellow believers. Paul says in Hebrews 10, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." The seventh word, we need to spend time, or we're able to spend time, in nature. Matthew 12:1, talking about Jesus on the Sabbath, said at about that time Jesus was walking through some grain fields on the Sabbath. His disciples were hungry, so they began breaking off some heads of grain and eating them. Remember that in the beginning, when God blessed the Sabbath on that very first week, he spent the first Sabbath with Adam and Eve in nature, in creation. And we also can find rest and refreshment when we set aside special time on Sabbath to spend time in God's second divine book, if you will, his creation, looking at all that he has done and doing so in awe. God created this whole world for our benefit. And that's why many people experience God more intimately when they are in nature. So taking a walk, playing in the park, climbing a mountain, ask God to reveal himself to you through his creation, and he will. 8, we need to spend time with our family and friends. Jesus often spent time on Sabbath with his disciples, visiting in their home. Sabbath is a day for reinforcing relationships. In fact, the fourth commandment specifically includes everyone in your household who's willing to partake in it. So we can have family worship times on the Sabbath. Gather the family together and get creative. You can worship God through song or art or storytelling. Parents can provide their children with special toys that they can only play with or special books they can only read on the Sabbath, making the day a delight for them as well. Invite friends over for fellowship. Get together with your brothers and sisters in Christ and spend time encouraging each other on the Sabbath day in the Lord. And thirdly, we can invite a guest from church for lunch, especially your pastor. But inviting somebody that you haven't met or haven't known until Sabbath day and say, why don't you come to our house for lunch? That is a way of honoring that time. God said in Exodus 31, surely my Sabbath you shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. I am the Lord who makes you holy. 9, spend time in the Word. Remember Jesus' example of going to the synagogue, as was his custom. But it also adds, he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, and he read it. The scriptures are an important part of our worship experience. We can see this in the early church as well. In Acts chapter 13, on the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Now, Jesus said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And so when you skip the Sabbath, you're not really just blowing God off. You're starving yourself spiritually. When we allow our children to skip the Sabbath, we are starving them as well. And finally, number 10, Sabbath is a day for doing good works and mercy. Scripture does not record our Lord Jesus Christ ever being inactive on the Sabbath. I don't recall seeing, I should say, Jesus having a Sabbath nap. Never is found. He was usually out ministering to those in need. He was preaching and teaching and doing good. And we can become so focused on what not to do on the Sabbath that we neglect the good things that we can do instead. Jesus spent many a Sabbath healing others, ministering to their physical and spiritual needs. In fact, from the Bible, we see him healing on the Sabbath more than any other day that's mentioned. Mark 3:4, then he turned to his critics and he asked, does the law permit good deeds on the Sabbath, or is it a day for doing evil? Is this a day to save life or destroy it? But they wouldn't answer him. Another time he was speaking to a group of Pharisees who asked Christ if it was lawful to heal on the Sabbath. And here's how he answered, Matthew 12. What man is there among you who has one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath, will not lay hold of it and lift it out? Of how much more value then is a man than a sheep? Therefore it is lawful to do good on the Sabbath. Sheep still fall into pits today. There will sometimes be unforeseen circumstances that arise on the Sabbath that call for our immediate attention. We can't just let it aside and set it aside for another day. If a woman goes into labor on the Sabbath, should we tell her that she can't labor that day and wait to have her baby on another day? We can. It'll get you hit and it won't work anyway. Of course, sometimes in an effort to explain or excuse our actions on Sabbath, however, we casually cite our deed as it's being our ox in the ditch situation. And sometimes we use that way too much. Billy Graham once said, it should not detract from a man's reverence to do what's required. Even Jesus spoke about an ox in the ditch on the Sabbath. But if your ox gets in the ditch every Sabbath, you should either get rid of the ox or fill up the ditch. So as we conclude this study over the last 7 weeks, putting it quite simply, Sabbath is a day for quality time. It's a time you spend for God. A time to grow spiritually, time for people we know, and time for people we don't. It's if there's a day if we should especially walk closely with God, the Sabbath is that day. It was set aside for us to grow in our appreciation and our love toward the Lord. You cannot really know someone well unless you spend time with that person. That's the same thing with God. Sabbath provides uninterrupted time with God. The rush of work, of paying bills, of attending school functions, cleaning the garage, and so many other things that just sap instead of nourish our relationship with Him. Want to know if an activity is right for the Sabbath? Well, if it would get between ourselves and Jesus Christ, then we know it's probably an activity that's best left undone for another day. There are hundreds of tempting ways to get around the Sabbath. You can do work that you call relaxing. I'm guilty of that. I love to garden, so I'll go out and weed and on the Sabbath afternoon. But is that really doing what the God requires of us? You can point to God when you score a touchdown and pretend you're breaking His commandment for His sake. You can squeeze in a quick Bible reading at halftime and pretend it's the same as communing in church with other believers. There are many ways to cheat yourself out of the Sabbath, but I wouldn't recommend it, because breaking the Sabbath will hurt you so much more than it will hurt God. Sabbath is a blessed time given to us as a gift. We need it so that we can pause from our regular work and focus on the Lord. It is a unique time for worship and Bible study and prayer and fellowship with other Christians. It's also a day for encouraging and cheering others, especially those who are suffering. Sabbath is a day for visiting the sick and those who are in prison. It's a day to put away our own selfish agendas and think about others, to think about God. And most of all, it's a day to set aside distractions so that we can sit at the feet of Jesus Christ. It's not a day full of rules that make it a burden. Sabbath is to be a delight because it draws us closer to the one we love, Jesus Christ. Perhaps you've not spent much time thinking about practical ways to keep God's day holy. I would encourage you to make a commitment right now. Just ask Him. Say, Lord, help me to keep Your day holy. Help me to find ways to make it a delight rather than a burden. And I believe that when you choose to keep the Sabbath and place God first in your life, He will make you holy just as He made the Sabbath day holy. Let's go before the Lord.